Thanks for listening to this highlight from Connecting Faith. To hear the entire broadcast or to hear more highlights from our recent shows, you can go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com.
The gospel is often heard within the four walls of a church, but that's not where it should stay. Here's a highlight from Connecting Faith. I'm Ryan Thomas. Jesus should be met within slums, crack houses, red light districts, and tribal villages. We heard from Pastor Caleb Bislow, who dared to bring the gospel into some of the most isolated and dangerous places in the world. Joe asked him what he would say to normal people like us who might be intimidated at the prospect of going to the lengths that he has to spread the good news.
I would say that you're probably a lot like me. I'm not a superhero by any means, and some people told me, you're like a guy in the book of Acts, but I'm just a normal guy. In fact, when I grew up in high school, they called me a mute in high school because I was so timid. I was afraid of people. People are probably still my biggest fear, interacting with people, but I've just told God I don't want to be defined by my insecurities and my fear. And so what you notice in the Bible is that often the people he calls are those that are humble, and it's those that are maybe insecure, or those that don't feel like they have what it takes. And I think that God does that because he gets the greatest glory mm-hmm. from them. And it's that type of person that if they go into a kind of maybe a darker place, that person is going to be praying consistently, saying, God, please use me. God, I don't know what I'm doing. God, please move. And I just think God loves to burst through mm-hmm. a person like that, rather than a person who maybe thinks they got it all together and they don't need as much prayer. And so I would just say, whoever that person may be listening today, is just don't count yourself out, because God has a history of using ordinary people for sure.
Well, and when you read those stories, if we're talking about like Gideon, who questions, what? That's what you want me to do? And actually he is drawn to prayer. Or Daniel, same thing. It's not like he just says, yep, I'm going to hop in that lion's den. I mean, there are a lot of situations where it draws people closer to God, and then they take that step of courage. And sometimes I think in America, we have this feeling that if we're not just like, oh yes, I'm going to take it on. I am ready. God's already equipped me. I'm going, without actually going back to him and making sure that, yes, this is where you're calling. Yes, you will give me the courage. And you do talk about that a lot in your book, that you are listening to him each step of the way.
Right. That's probably one of the biggest paradigm shifts in my spiritual life, is trying to discern God's voice. You know, I don't want any of these just to be an adventure that Caleb goes off and does, but trying to hear his voice. And that's why in the book I've kept a lot of the beginnings of the story in there, of how I heard from God, whether I sensed a burden. Sometimes it's a whisper, or sometimes it's strange, but it's an impression or an image that I sense he gives me, and I'll draw it in my journal, and I'll see it come to fruition later. And so I'm constantly trying to hear his voice to make sure I'm not getting ahead of him, but that he is actually leading me on each of these trips.